How do we get from a former club of Frank Worthington to an ex-Gillingham and Chelsea striker?
Hello and welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers number 50, the Big 50. Big 50. Ever played cricket, Dave?
I have played cricket at some point. Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, I hate cricket, but I played it. I played it at school.
As in, like, with pads, like, not just, like, messing around in the field.
Oh.
With pads and everything, a helmet and
I think I bat. Played, yeah, one or two games for a school team of some description, but, yeah.
I only ask because that's where 50 is quite notable in sport. It's not that notable in other appearances in football, maybe, but that's probably what's most notable, I'd say, 50, isn't it?
Yeah. Even in football, it's only international caps, I'd say. No one's going around being like, it's his 50th appearance for Spurs.
No. So. Midway through the second season.
Okay, thanks. I feel like, yeah, it's not, you're right. Should it be bigger in sport? Darts, the bullseye's 50, isn't it?
True, that. Is darts a sport, though?
Yeah, no. Darts a sport.
No.
Darts, is snooker a sport?
Nope.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes.
Do you know what my reasoning is? And I had to use Football Manager for this, but what are the three sections?
Oh, I know, we've had this discussion. Physical, technical, mental are the three.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And what part of dart, and physical, to clarify, means that if I was to be in peak physical condition, would it enhance my game? And being in peak physical condition for darts or snooker wouldn't really enhance it at all. Because like you can be in absolute dire straits physically and still be excellent at those sports. Sports. As I contradict
myself. Called them sports. There we go. That's the argument solved.
Case closed. Move on.
No, I think they're sports because you're incredibly talented at something which is based around a sport. It is a sport. If it's not a sport,
that wasn't a thing. That wasn't an argument.
If it's not a sport, what is it?
Game.
But a
competitive game.
No, that's a sport then, isn't it? If it's a competitive game.
No. Sport involves physical activity.
Why? Where did it define that?
Joshua Caulders defined that.
Oh, get out. Yeah. Right. 50. 50 episodes, 50.
It's our 50th episode. And, well done us.
Yeah.
50 episodes. The previous 49, we have covered 355 Wikipedia pages.
Bloody hell. And you've broken down the percentages, haven't you?
I mean, I have it all. Yeah. Maybe, kind of, you know, 45% of them are players. Maybe. Just.
Oh, I wish I'd known that stat because I wouldn't have gone for a player. Oh.
I mean, the next one is clubs, and I've gone for a club. So we're just sticking true to form. Top two, the big hitters.
Oh, okay.
We're doing.
That makes me feel better then.
As a special for this 50th episode, we've themed it around those kind of missed clicks, those kind of. You know, you're at the crossroads. You can go left, you can go right. And we've chosen right. But now, a couple of instances, we're going to go left. And I've chosen Cape Town Spurs.
Okay, so first off then.
Do you remember this one?
No, that was going to be my question. My first question is, what episode was it and what were we talking around to miss Cape Town Spurs?
So this was FA Cup special.
Okay.
Going from Ricky Villa to the 1997 FA Cup final.
Right.
And Ricky Villa had World Cup of Masters. A player there was Frank Worthington. And Frank Worthington had played for this club, Cape Town Spurs. And we were discussing how you were like, oh, I wouldn't mind seeing what Cape Town Spurs are up to these days. I'm like, oh, God, this will not help us in the slightest. We're trying to get into FA Cup final. Going down to Cape Town isn't going to help us. And we would discuss that we were football club magpies. You know, there's an interesting name.
Yeah.
For a football club, we're absolute suckers for it. We can't help ourselves.
No, I agree.
So instead, we clicked on a player called Peter Foley.
That shouldn't be funny. It's his name.
No, but as if that seems like a more direct route to an FA Cup final, choosing a player that, even though we've covered it, tell me anything about Peter Foley, Dave.
Oh. Nope.
Do you know what? I think... off the top of my head, wasn't it something to do that Frank Worthington did a few, like, testimonial appearances, and one of those was Peter Foley, and we didn't know who Peter Foley was.
It was, yeah, it was, and we were trying to figure out who he was, and he was the working man's George Best, or was that Frank Worthington?
That's what Frank Worthington is. Yeah, yeah.
Something's up there.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about Cape Town Spurs. They are, unsurprisingly, a South African football club. Playing in, guess which town they play in, Dave?
Cape Town.
Yes, but I think we might recognise them as Ajax Cape Town.
Ah.
Or Ajax CT, I've even feeling it was actually abbreviated to.
Yeah, that was bringing back Football Manager memories.
Yes, so they formed in 1970, but in 1999, Ajax became majority shareholder.
Right.
And they kind of implemented their kind of youth team methodology with them, and we're kind of just branching out, you know, kind of, as you do with Football Manager, affiliated, feeder clubs, that Cape Town Spurs was one of them. And they were linked to them up until just a few years ago, September 2020, they sold their shares in them, which is exciting. And now, this is a tough question, but any players past or present? Now, it's a bit of a clue here mentioning South Africa and Ajax. You could get one.
Oh, Stephen Pienaar.
It is Stephen Pienaar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the kind of the most notable players to come out. There's also another player mentioned, which I don't know if you remember him, but I don't. So while other players such as Stephen Pienaar and X have moved on to other top European clubs, Tulani Serrero?
Nope.
No? Okay, just in case, so there's a gap in my knowledge that I wasn't aware of.
But you've said and X, so is there another one I should get?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's all I know. I've got Stephen Pienaar.
Okay.
That's it. So they have current squad, which is made up of, I mean, it's got some nice name players. It's got a forward called Chico from Angola.
Love that.
Yeah.
And then Manucho vibes.
Yeah. I reckon they know each other.
Yeah, probably.
And also a South African number 8 midfielder, Torik Lospa, has also caught my eye.
Nice. I mean, I'm immediately drawn to a Brazilian forward, Balotelli. Igor Balotelli.
Igor, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Igor Balotelli is fantastic. Unfortunately, not clickable. For his name alone, should be. There is an error I've spotted. So I was looking there, kind of, you know, chairman, manager, Sean Bartlett. Oh, the Sean Bartlett, South African.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a clickable link. So I was like, okay, let's scroll down to notable or current managers. Current head coach is Vladislav Heric, who is also has at one point is Serbian, I think, in managers, but also South African in the club officials. So another thing I've got to check there. Obviously, a number of different Dutch managers involved here. But shout out to Rob McDonald, who managed them in 01-02. Ever heard of Rob McDonald?
Nope.
Englishman?
No. Love the rogue Englishman in there.
Yeah. And also, in 11-12, Martin Stekelenburg manages them.
That just caught my eye.
There's got to be another Martin Stekelenburg. Is Martin Stekelenburg the goalkeeper?
The goalkeeper is Martin Stekelenburg, yeah.
Can't be the same, otherwise that would have surely... Because he would have, like, that's 10 years ago. He would have been, like, in his peak.
That's very true.
He's only just retired. That would have been pretty rogue.
Yeah, that would be pretty rogue. Yeah, that would be rogue.
No other managers of note. They obviously... They play in the second tier of South African football, so there's nothing not quite as prominent. But, you know, record defeat was against Orlando Pirates. Lost 6-0. That's something to write home about.
So, I've got to ask, is the Spurs thing now anything related to Tottenham?
No, the Spurs thing was, I think, just from the Cape Town Spurs. I think, let's have a look. No, it's just purely related to Cape Town Spurs. I'm not sure... it doesn't mention how they form their name, but again, that's obviously what catches the eye. Anything like San Antonio Spurs, I'm like, oh, Spurs. Right, well, that's all I've got on Cape Town Spurs.
That's all you've got, okay. I mean, it's not a huge page. There's a few things out. I've seen links to Viking FK in Norway, which, you know, won't help us when I go into who I've picked. But, yeah, lots of interesting links out.
Look at those managers. There's probably about 10, 15 managers there, and we don't know any of them. That's interesting.
I mean, if we're going by managers, I want to see who that Martin Stekelenburg is.
True.
So, but anyway, we have to get from Cape Town Spurs FC in South Africa, as we've learned in this start, to Tony Cascarino. which is a bit of an odd pick for Tony Cascarino, or Anthony Guy Cascarino, as he's called, as he's named. It's his actual name. Yeah, so do you remember when Tony Cascarino was mentioned? Very briefly in an episode that caught my eye or ear.
No, we flirted around Ireland a bit, and we've been near Gillingham, but no, I don't quite remember.
So Gillingham is the right section where we mentioned him, and it was during the Manager's Goat episode. So we're going from your guy, which was the inventor. Can you? And it was your. I know his name. Do you know his name? The inventor of Total Football.
Renus Mertens.
Oh, so close. Mitchell. Yeah, oh. Renus Mitchell. To Sir Alex Ferguson. We ended up going to Brooklyn something as a club, and we clicked on it. It turned out to be Gillingham, which was Gillingham's original name. And we went five players past or present. Then we went down to notable players. And Tony Cascarino was just one of the names we casually rolled off. And that got me thinking, I know the name. I don't know the man. I don't know what he did in his career. I don't know how he got into punditry. I don't know how he got into journalism and all that sort of stuff. So I thought it would be an interesting sort of missed click, because we left Gillingham through Andy Hessenthaler. And we so easily could have gone through Tony Cascarino and gone a slightly different route. But
yeah. I'm looking here at this list of clubs, and I'm like, I didn't realise these were the clubs he played for.
Exactly. Like, we've got Crockham Hill is the start. Never heard of that. Gillingham, 81 to 87, 219 appearances, 78 goals. Millwall, 105 appearances, 42 goals. Millwall also got a mention in that episode because of Neil Harris, the manager
of Gillingham,
played up front for Millwall. That was it. That's how we got there. Yeah, he also played for Aston Villa, 43 appearances, 11 goals. Celtic for a season, 18 appearances, 4 goals. Chelsea, 92 to 94. So in the Premier League for Chelsea,
yeah,
40 appearances, 8 goals. Marseille, 94-96, 84.
That's good.
84 appearances, 61 goals for Marseille. And didn't Marseille win the Champions League in 94? No, 93.
No, I think it was before that, yeah.
Yeah, 93. So they took their Champions League money and bought Tony Cascarino. He played for Nantes in France as well, 96 to 2000, 109 appearances, 44 goals. And then finished off at Red Star 93, which isn't Red Star Belgrade. There is a Red Star in Paris. And 2 appearances, 0 goals. But Josh wants to say something. He's got his finger in the air like he's at school.
Well, just from reading around the Marseille situation.
Ah, okay, yeah, go on then.
Ligue 2. Because they had all their issues with the financial irregularities and match fixing just after the Champions League when they got relegated, that's why he scored loads of goals. It's not in Ligue 1.
Right, okay. So,
but it was known as Tony Goal by the Ultras.
Tony Goal. Love that. Has represented the Republic of Ireland as well. He had a 14-year career as a Republic of Ireland international. 88 appearances, 19 goals, but lots of controversy as he was labelled a fraud, a fake Irishman by newspapers that I think he's worked for since. but yeah, he was basically was included by Jack Charlton and managers to represent Ireland at numerous tournaments. He went to Euros, the World Cup. Did he go to the World Cup? I think he went to the World Cup.
Yep.
Yeah, I did read that somewhere. Yeah, and did pretty well for them.
Yeah. Just looking here is the age that he was. So, born in 62, he finished playing for Nancy in 2000, age 38. Therefore, he actually holds a record as the oldest player to score a hat-trick in Ligue 1. Age 37 years old.
There you go. That's surely Zlatan's eyeing that up again. Have a quick stint back in France. Get a hat trick.
That's not bad. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
So, but yeah, since retirement, and more probably how we actually know Tony Cascarino is punditry and commentary and things like that. I think he's been on Sky Sports a couple of times. He's done quite a lot of talk sport stuff. He's been in and around TV, but again, I mentioned this to you just before we started recording. There's actually a line in his thing that says, Twin French women national football team players Delphine and Estelle Cascarino are not related to Tony Cascarino, although they are often asked if they are. So there are two Cascarino footballing families out in the world, which is very, very interesting. And yeah, I wanted to know a bit more about him. And you're right. No idea he'd played for Villa, Celtic, Chelsea or Marseille. So
bit of a Chris Sutton overlap, isn't there? It was Chris Sutton, Celtic and Chelsea. Did he have Aston Villa in his
history? Think so. Did Chris Sutton play for Villa? Blackburn? Celtic, Chelsea, definitely.
Then he gets a bit ropey.
Norwich, he played for Norwich.
Norwich, for sure, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it was Villa. I don't remember Sutton at Villa.
Okay.
So, but so anyway.
Way he's in, though, Nancy seems like a great chant. And he also, even Marseille, which I didn't think I'd be saying.
Yeah, Ligue 1, generally, because if they've got a records bit, he might be mentioned there as the oldest hat-trick scorer.
Yeah, Ligue 1 records to get this, but... Looks like we're heading to France, Dave.
Yeah, France, Ireland. They're probably our best person. I mean, he did... Ligue 2. Now, that's a league I didn't think we'd go to. He won Ligue 2 with Marseille.
Yeah. It's a good job we're starting in Cape Town, South Africa.
Yeah, I mean, awesome. Right, let's have a look at Cape Town then. What are we thinking? What are you thinking, Josh? This is your pick.
Let's have a look at the nationalities of managers. And so there's no one there straight away who looks like a very good link. So we've got, obviously, Dutch, South African, Turkish, Zimbabwean, and English. Part of me's tempted by the Englishman. I mean, a lot of me is tempted by Rob McDonald.
I mean, we do like a rogue English manager. It's taken us down many a journey before. Would he be a future misclick? Would it be something you were thinking about, Rob McDonald?
I mean, there's also Chico.
I mean, Chico's... Oh. Ugh. Surely Chico's not going to get us anywhere other than him saying he's a professional footballer that plays for Ajax, Cape Town, Spurs.
The bit I'm hoping for and I'm expecting is had trials at...
I mean, that is wishful.
That body of text, that requires someone to be keeping his page up to date.
But what about... But Rob McDonald?
Mm-hmm.
Who else has he managed? How did he end up in South Africa?
Yeah,
how,
is he a young manager managing at that point? Or is he at the end of his career and he's done... It's Rob McDonald, isn't it? We just know it is.
Why was it one season? I think there's more questions around Rob McDonald. He might say, Rob McDonald found such talents as Chico.
Oh, hello. So I've clicked on Robert McDonald, by the way. This happened. Robert Roderick McDonald, now age 63, very similar to Tony Cascarino, by the way. We have got a varied career. So former footballer, played as a striker or midfielder for Hull, Cambuur, Wageningen, Willem II, Groningen, PSV, Sporting Club Portugal, Racing Jet to Brussels, Icast FS, Newcastle United. At the end of the 80s, Besiktas and Veendam. So he's quite Dutch.
Who was Michel's English manager that moved to Holland and then never left Holland? This is what I'm sort of getting memories of. I'm like, it's brought me a flashback of that guy. Patrick Connor.
Patrick O'Connell,
I think his name was. The guy that just ended up randomly in Holland and then managed all these teams. Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. But because... And that Rob McDonald has managed Dovo, which is a team name I'm very intrigued to go and look
Dovo,
at.
Dovo, yeah.
De Graafschap, Ajax Cape Town, Camber, VVOG, Sligo Rovers, AS Trentien, Dovo again as interim manager, and then VV Nunspeet.
Oh, this is a damning sentence. As manager of Sligo Rovers, McDonald tried to sell Seamus Coleman, who he did not rate as a footballer. McDonald was sacked shortly afterwards, and barely two seasons later, Coleman was signed by English Premier League side Everton, whom he would go on to captain, as well as becoming captain of the Republic of Ireland national team.
Oh, Rob.
So Dovo seemed to be amateurs. He returned at amateurs Dovo, based in Veenendaal, accepting the offer to become the club's interim coach at the end of the season. It's a bit amateurish, isn't it?
It is.
Another Nunspeet. Okay, but he did win the Eredivisie with PSV in 85-86. Okay.
Right. I don't quite know where we go from here.
No, because we've got Newcastle, which to try and get to, well, and actually we didn't want to get to England, did we?
No,
we wanted
France.
To get to France.
Ligue 2, preferably. I mean,
none of them look like they're French, if I'm honest. So look, we've got some Belgians right. That look like it.
I think we rule out Duvu, right? Because they're amateurs. That's not going to get us anywhere.
Yeah, we know they're absolute amateurs.
What about Ickfast FS? I can't even picture where that is.
Anything to tell us where that's going to... Ickfast FS. Ickast. No, not even for Ickast.
Ickast, yeah, Ickast. Well, you bought us the Rob McDonald. I'm taking us to Ickast FS.
Yeah, my guess. Guess what's your guess? I'm going for Scandinavia.
Because of the FS, down, I'm thinking Norway or Sweden.
Yeah, with K's and S's, I'm thinking something like that, yeah.
But FS could just be football club in any language.
It's the K's and A's and S's is what's making me think it.
Ickast FS is an association football club based in the town of Ickast, Denmark.
Denmark, okay. Oh my God, Dave, this is the smallest club page I've ever seen.
It is the smallest club page I've ever seen.
The sixth tier of Danish football league system. The sixth tier. That's, what does that, that's like below, that's like National League.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
Oh my God, this is, oh okay, great. They're affiliated with Midtjylland.
We've got a way out, yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a way out. This is, yeah, they're currently managed by Yang Kok. So there's a good one for you, Josh. Couldn't you laughed at Bum last week? So, yeah. Capacity Stadium, 1,000 people.
Nice. We're now known as Ickast FC as well, by the way. But the badge looks a bit too modern for my liking.
Well, that's because it was founded in 2018, Josh. It is modern.
But I'm not even quite sure why. It's like a star gone wrong. I can't quite work out what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And as there's four lines of text on here, it's not going to tell me.
No. So, FC Midtjylland or the Danish Cup?
Midtjylland, please.
Okay.
Because they keep cropping up in European competition, but I'm never quite sure about them. There's links with English football as well, isn't there? Isn't there some...
I don't know. The badge always reminds me of Charlton.
Yeah, it's a bear, isn't it? Or Wolves. Oh, no. The Ulveen, nicknamed the Wolves, or Heddensdrenge, the Boys of the Moor. Okay.
Any players, past or present?
I'm just going to name it a Danish player. In hope.
I want to say, like, Pisto was a wing, was a right winger. Really Pisto. Quick. Pisto.
I'm going to... Oh, no. Is Thomas Frank Danish?
Thomas Frank is Danish, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say he played for him when he was younger.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, we'll go
and
for that.
And then I'll also throw in a Klaus Jensen.
Oh, okay. I should... There's definitely a winger. Sisto. Was his name Sisto? There's
Chico.
Something...
Chico.
Eh?
Chico.
Chico. Chico, he's not there. I'm gonna have to look at their squad because I think he's still there.
So this is interesting, which I hadn't realised. In July 2014, Matthew Benham, owner of Brentford, became a majority shareholder of the parent company FCM Holding. So that's why we have the Danish. Well, it doesn't quite explain why we have. Why did he get involved in here? But that explains why there's a strong Danish link to Brentford, I'd say. But Matthew Benham doesn't seem very Danish.
I've scrolled down to this current squad and I was right. There is a guy called Pione Sisto. That's who I was thinking of.
Oh, nice.
Who is a right winger, number 7. But if I go down to notable players, Josh, I'm just going to chuck some names at you. Winston Reid played for Midtjylland. Simon Kjær played for Midtjylland.
Nice.
Raphael van der Vaart played for them.
What?
Frank Onyeka. Jakob Poulsen. Tim Sparv. Wagner Love.
Ooh.
And now, we did Wagner Love in an episode, and I'm really surprised
we
don't remember
him
playing at Midtjylland. But there you go. So,
okay, yeah. Oh, that's it's quite a nice notable player section. They've grouped it into decades.
Yeah. And they've currently being managed by their first non-Danish manager, a Spaniard called Albert Capellas.
Oh, yeah. Winston Reid was an academy product and New Zealand international. So Do you reckon there was some form of work permit thing was why he went there, potentially?
Yeah, must be. Must be. Got a long list of teams in here. I'm seeing if there's anyone that jumps out that's Tony Cascarino ex.
Ooh, I recognise this name. So the stadium's open match was on the 27th of March. It proved to be a success with Midtjylland beating AB 6-0. Five of the goals were scored by Egyptian striker Mohamed Zidane. Why do I know him? Was it Derby? Was he just a football manager?
I remember him being really good on Football Manager.
I think he had really good dribbling and really good finishing, and a bit quick.
But did he come to the Premier League? I don't think he did.
No, I think maybe I'm thinking of Munir Alhamdoui. Actually, as you do. The club's main rival is Vyborg FF, and is referred to as the Battle of the Heath, the Battle of Hatred, the Derby of Midtjylland. I need to work on my pronunciation. Midtjylland. That's maybe.
FC Midtjylland, isn't it? Midtjylland.
Midtjylland.
Okay, well, I mean, we've got lots of clubs listed.
Yeah, and we've got players that we kind of know where we can get to France as well, I think.
Yeah, that was true, actually. I didn't even think about that. So what do we... I mean, I'm quite tempted by Mohamed Zidane.
I'm tempted by Mohamed Zidane. I've got a feeling he played for Ajax, though, which is just... We do this sometimes. Well, I do. I'm pushing it on you there. I get linked back to our first... Yeah, that's great. No, it's Ajax. It's the first place where we started.
I'm happy to go with Mohamed Zidane. I feel like it would be a missed click if we didn't. We both want to know more about him, so let's not miss that click. Yeah.
Okay, Mohamed Zidane.
Known as Mohamed Zidane, is an Egyptian retired professional footballer who played as a striker. Clubs, Josh. Take us through his clubs.
AB. You pronounce the name because I still can't get it right.
Midtjylland.
Werder Bremen, maybe I remember him. So he goes to. It's quite Germany heavy then. So Werder Bremen alone, Werder Bremen permanently. Not appearing to... I mean, his goal scoring was 30 and 47 at Midtjylland, but then it doesn't really... He has a few... He's quite... Is he journeyman quality? Not sure. He then goes for another loan. Mainz, then Mainz permanently. Hamburg. Borussia Dortmund for four seasons. 13 goals, 66 appearances. Probably playing under Klopp at that time. Back to Mainz. Either at Mainz or Borussia Dortmund. Surely there's got to be some Klopp overlap. And then, I don't know where these are. This is Banias and El Entag El Harbi. A couple of clubs I don't recognise, actually.
No, I don't recognise them, but I can tick off your instinct there, Josh. His transfer to Dortmund reunited him with former Mainz coach Jurgen Klopp, who was in charge of the club during Zidane's two successful spells there in 2005-2006 and the second half of 2006-2007. He received the number 10 shirt at Borussia Dortmund. His first appearance with Borussia Dortmund was on the 23rd of August 2008 against Bayern Munich. It ended 1-1. Zidane suffered an injury in his knee that prevented him from playing for almost 6 months. Borussia Dortmund were crowned champions of the Bundesliga for the first time since 2002.
Internationally, 13 goals in total in 44 appearances, including one against England at Wembley in a 3-1 friendly loss. He's also scored couple of goals against Brazil in the 2009 Confederations Cup.
Nice.
I bet he treasures those memories quite nicely.
Yeah. Zidane was married to his long-term girlfriend, Stina, who held a Danish citizenship. They got married in 2014 in Germany. They have two children, Adam and Liam. Very nice.
That's surprising.
Yeah. He then moved back to Egypt and married his now current wife, his Egyptian wife, Menas. They have a son named Zidane. So their son's name is Zidane Zidane.
So good, I named him twice. Nice. Yeah.
So he works for BN Sports covering German clubs and the Bundesliga.
When he was at his return to Mainz, he became the first player in the history of the Bundesliga to score each of his first six games with his new club and surpassed the Stuttgart striker Freddy Bobic, who had scored in his first five games with his new club in the 94-95 opener. Didn't Freddy Bobic go to Bolton?
I want to say yes. There was definitely a bitch Bolton, a BIC. There was definitely someone in an itch. Yeah, don't know. I was just looking, there's some big clubs there. Yeah, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Man United all were linked to him. Actually, he said he had aspirations and ambitions to play for those clubs, and he wanted to play for Barcelona within the next 3 years to play alongside Ronaldinho, or go to Liverpool to play alongside Steven Gerrard.
Okay. Didn't happen. Right. Where do we go from here, Dave?
That, yeah, I mean, that's the...
We've kind of eyeballed France as a place we need to go. Do we need to change that tact at all, or are we still heading in on France?
France, I'm just back on Tony Cascarino's page, and I'm thinking France is probably the way, unless we can get in through... No, he wouldn't be mentioned on Celtic or Chelsea's page. Millwall?
Don't want to go to Millwall.
No. Or we just go down the... Let's see where the next clicks... You know, the next click takes
just
us.
Just keep going. Just keep clicking through.
What are you fancying?
I feel like going to a player. Mehdi Mahadavika is a player I remember. A right-sided...
Algerian.
Iranian. So that's where I'm thinking. I'd like.
Okay.
Do you have any?
No, I'm happy to go there. I think I'm just having a quick scout to see if there's anything. I'm just trying to think if there's any way we know someone who would have been playing in France. I mean, Tottenham are mentioned.
We don't play in France.
No. Did Mido play in France?
Ajax.
Have we been to Mido?
I don't think we've been to Mido, no. I feel like I know Mido, but I don't know.
Yeah. Go on then, let's go to Mehdi Mahadavika.
Mehdi Mahadavika is an Iranian professional football coach and former player. Usually plays as a right winger or right back. That's knowledge for you. So youth career at Bank Melli, and starting professional career at Persepolis, which must be, I'm guessing, in Iran, then moves to Bochum in Germany, and then we have a vast majority of his career at Hamburg, 211 appearances out of 386, including a little loan to the Hamburg amateur side 3 years in, which seems a bit strange. Eintracht Frankfurt afterwards, so stays in Germany for 3 more years after Hamburg. Then we go to Steel Azin, Damash Gilan, and back to Persepolis, so he bookends his career. For his national team, under 20s, under 23s, Iran CISM, which I'm not quite sure. Is that something to do with Olympic squad or a B team, maybe? Not sure what that is.
Not sure.
And then overall for Iran, 111 appearances, 13 goals. We look at his teams managed, Iran youth teams, so under 17s, under 19s, Hamburg youth team, under academy, under 16s, and then second 11, Oulers. So this is similar to last week, actually, Dave. We've got technical manager, offensive coach, which I vehemently disagree with. It's not NFL. Then it's listed as assistant for both the Hamburg under 16s and second string, but now he is... They're listed as Iran under 23s manager. Iran under 23s?
Yeah, so that's Olympics.
Yeah.
Olympic squad.
Okay.
Right.
Anything interesting in the text that we need to cover?
I've sort of gone through the text down to the tables and stuff because I wanted to have a quick look at leagues that he played in and stats and things like that. And do you know what's really annoying? He qualified with Iran to the 1998 FIFA World Cup. And Tony Cascarino played in the Euro, 2 Euros before that, and the World Cup after that, or before that. Not that one. Very annoying. And he scored, actually, against the United States in the World Cup in France, in Lyon. But it's not a clickable link. So, because it's a place. Also, though, Josh, he did win one of our favourite trophies ever, the Intertoto Cup, with Hamburg. So, but yeah, no, not too much really. Good. He's, you know, recommended, yeah, for his pace and all of that. He said he got on well. He's got a list of famous matches on his profile page, a little subsection of famous matches. Madavika's most prolific club match was for Hamburg against Juventus in the Champions League. He was the impetus that rallied Hamburg back after being 3-1 by scoring once, assisting once, and winning a penalty for Hamburg that saw Hamburg take a 4-3 lead. Juve managed to equalise with an Inzaghi penalty. Another famous game in the HSVC shirt came in week 30 of the 2002-03 season. Madvika scored one and assisted another 2 goals in Hamburg's 4-0 win over Nuremberg. Kicker gave him a much rare perfect note of 1.0. I don't know I assume it's ranked out of one. But and Medi's greatest national team match arguably was against South Korea in the 2004 Asia Cup, where he assisted three goals in Iran's 4-3 win. Many also point to his dynamic game against the US in the World Cup 98 that saw him score Iran's second and winning goal as his best ever. So, yeah, held in high regard.
Yeah. Do you know what his nickname was?
No.
The Carpet.
The Carpet? Because he was really hairy.
For his ability to magically glide past his opponents like an enchanted carpet.
There you go.
That's nice. We have another reference to Raphael van der Vaart. It's come up again. Because I've played together at Hamburg.
Okay. Is it a sign? Did Raphael van der Vaart play in France with Tony Cascarino?
This is definitely not with Tony Cascarino.
I mean, Gattuso, Maldini, Baresi. Baresi played in France, didn't he? No.
No, I think he was just Milan.
Just at Milan, wasn't he? Yeah, sorry. Okay, so again, it's not wonderfully good for getting to Tony Cascarino, but lots of links out.
Is that a surprise?
Yeah. Asian Footballer of the Year Award.
Oh, I knew that would take your fancy.
Why not? Are there Asian players in France? Yes. Could one of them have won it? Maybe.
Is France that... You probably want to be going to Africa with France, because there's a, like, North Africa is quite a common place to migrate to France from.
Yeah.
We're not in Africa, we're in Asia.
I don't know. I don't know where to go. We are proper tumbling down the rabbit hole now. So do we carry on going, or do we try and...
I mean, if we want to go... Say the AFC Player of the Year. There's not much else.
I mean, well, you could go into Toto Cup, Josh.
Could do. Could go to any of these clubs that we don't know.
Yeah, there's plenty of opportunities.
I say we go for Player of the Year.
We're going Asian Player of the Year.
Fourth of the individual honours, AFC Player of the Year.
Okay, I'm there. I'm there already.
Just to see Heung-min Son repeatedly, I presume.
The Asian Footballer of the Year is an annual prize awarded to the best Asian player in a calendar year. Yep. That's what it says on the tin. So, the Best Footballer in Asia award was inspired by the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Okay. There is a picture of Sun Heung-min straight away, or Heung-min Son, if you want to call him that. But Son Heung-min is his actual name. Okay. Right, so we go back to 1988 is where it starts. And, yeah, it's not amazing. Oh, no, there's quite a lot, actually.
There's quite a lot, but no player has ever won it when playing for a French side. I've just scanned down.
Oh, damn it. There is
not say they haven't played in France, but with the time of winning it. There's one player played for Dundee.
Dundee! That's what caught my eye.
But he actually, so if you look there, he won that in 2001, Fan Zihi, playing for Dundee. He didn't finish first, playing for Crystal Palace in 1998. I don't recognise, I mean, should we just take the hit now and go straight to Fan Zihi?
Yeah, in a minute, I'm just having a quick look down the list, but that is definitely one up there.
I like Ali Karimi. I remember him being a good player.
Yeah.
Oshinsuke Nakamura, obviously we know. Oh, have we been to Yoshito Endo? Japanese player. We've got to play for Gamba Osaka.
Yeah, we might have done.
There's 355 links. We can't keep up at all.
No, very true. Can't be expected to remember it all. So.
Mark Schwarzer finished... was nominated in 2012 while at Fulham.
Nagatomo won an award in 2013. We've been to him, definitely been to you two, Nagatomo.
Mille Yednak and Tim Cahill and Ki Seung Jung all have had Premier League appearances in 2014. Massimo Luongo, oh my goodness, player I remember. He was a Spurs youth player. I think he had a decent World Cup it's 2015. He definitely played in a World Cup, I think.
The year before Mehdi Madvakia won it, it was won by Shinji Ono for Feyenoord. Mm-hmm. And Lee Tai came as one of the nominations from Everton. Yeah. Yuichi Inamoto for Fulham was also a nomination that year as well. Bloody hell. There are some quite good names on this list.
There are. I'm trying to think of anyone who's played in France.
Ali Dia, did he play in France? No, it was all around Asia and then Germany with Bayern Munich.
Now, a player who's really sticking out to me, because I've got a feeling that a friend of ours repeatedly brought him in, Football Manager, James Carver, Sergei Zhepurov. I've got a feeling he is it Uzbekistan? And I think he's got like 130 caps for Uzbekistan. He was like an absolute legend for them. And he's on for like Bolton, I think.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm drawn by Sergei Zhepurov, if I'm honest.
I mean, he's right in the middle of my screen now that you've just mentioned it. So I think it's either him or it's Fan Zhiyi. Weirdly, Sergei Zhepurov is easier to say.
Let's go to Sergei Zhepurov rather than hammering that name for the next 5 minutes.
Oh my. That's you can do his senior career and I'll go through the page.
How did I not think that we'd run into some trouble in his club career? Oh my goodness. So Sergei Rashutovich Zhepurov, now age 40, was playing up until 3 years ago, appeared 128 times and scored 25 goals for Uzbekistan. Team's managed. I don't even know if that should even be included. Uzbekistan under 14. There's got to be a cut-off point.
Yeah, there's got to be.
And now, also, he's doing two things at once. He's Uzbekistan assistant coach. So he seems to have played very much in that kind of Middle East area. There's Navbor, Namangan, Paktor, Tashkent, Bunyodkor, FC Seoul. So he moves over to South Korea.
Yeah.
Al-Shabaab, Seongnam, Ulsan Hyundai, Locomotive Tashkent, Estegal, Sepang on loan, Zetsu and Metalurg Bekabad. Which Metalurg's normally Ukraine, isn't it?
Metalurg, I think, is Ukraine, yeah.
395 appearances, 148 goals, playing as an attacking mid-second striker.
There's a wonderful little line in his text about Al-Shabaab. But just before that, right, he signs for FCL, who signed him on the 8th of February 2011, made a move permanent after he'd been there. $850,000 they paid to sign him. 3-year contract. After playing 15 games in Seoul, he was transferred to Al-Shabaab FC of the Saudi Premier League. So that 3-year contract was good, a good deal. The deal was announced on July the 9th, 2011. So he'd spent 4 months in South Korea after his 3-year contract. He was unremarkable on the pitch and was rumoured to be unhappy with his limited playing opportunities and Saudi Arabia's weather. So they went back from there back to Korea. So,
fun fact, he can barely speak Uzbek. He's of Russian descent, or Crimean Tatar and Russian descent, and speaks fluent Russian as well as comprehensible English, but only barely speaks Uzbek. His son is named Raul, named after, who do you reckon?
Oh, Raul?
Yes, Raul Gonzalez, I think his full name is, a Real Madrid legend, which feels like is our next click.
I feel like this has taken us much further away than we ever thought from Tony Cascarino.
Yeah, it's more of just a kind of learning. This is just summing up our experience on this podcast just generally, learning.
Right, we need to get to France.
I think Raoul is a good shout. There'll be some link. There must be some mention of French players or something like that.
Yeah,
it's definitely more in the realm we know, rather than a lot of. That's the second time I've seen mentioned the Havsi Cup. I'm pretty sure Mohamed Zidane or Madavika played in the Havsi Cup.
I mean, you don't want to go and look at the Persian Gulf Pro League's Top Assister of the Year award.
Yeah. So, Mahadevika played his last match as a football player in the 2013 Havsi Cup final, and Sergei Zhepurov scored his first goal when he in for Estegal in the Havsi Cup. That's not a couple I even knew existed until 10 minutes ago. What about honours? Have we got anything there?
Hang on. What a weird 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 13-word sentence in his first club career page or paragraph. There's a sentence which says, Japarov was offered a month trial with Premier League Giants Chelsea. What?
Knew the trials would come in here, handy here. Now, Chelsea.
Chelsea is Cascarino.
Where Cascarino played. We haven't been to Chelsea yet.
We haven't.
Shall we go there and then we can probably get to somewhere with Cascarino?
Chelsea, Leboeuf, Marseille.
Wow, that would be rogue if we go to Chelsea where he's playing and still have to go to France. But
are we going Chelsea?
I think we go Chelsea to get some normality.
Okay.
I've control left and we have Tony Cascarino in there.
Awesome.
I thought it was unclickable, which is why I haven't put my head into my hands. It's just that it's greyed out. It's purpled out because I've already clicked it, obviously. Now, Dave, don't look. I'm just going to quiz you, okay?
Okay.
Chairman.
Chairman or owner?
Well, owner. Chairman,
oh, Todd Bowley.
Yep. Head coach?
Graham Potter.
Where did they finish in last year's Premier League?
Oh, third.
Yes. Name of their stadium?
Stamford Bridge.
Approximate capacity? The nearest 1,000?
45,000.
40,341. They've got two nicknames. Can you name me one?
The Blues.
Yes. Also the Pensioners.
Oh. Oh yeah. Chelsea Pensioners.
Former nickname.
Yeah.
What is on their badge?
A lion.
Yeah, a really weird kind of like lion. Yeah. So it's Aston Villa's new badge.
I haven't seen Aston Villa's new badge.
It looks like that, just the opposite way in burgundy.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. You pass.
Good.
I don't feel we need to do players past and present because I think we could go on for quite a while.
Yeah, I think we'll smash that. Yeah. So. I'll tell you what, something about Chelsea in the recent eras, like, I'd probably say the last 5 or 6 years, never liked any of their kits. I think they've really produced some stinkers recently. Annoyingly, my team in Singapore wears their old kit. We have their
old kit.
Yeah. The one that has, like, can you remember the one that had, like, the Croatia sort of flag on one side? On one, like, little third of it? That's what we wear. Yep. Yeah. We wear that. But, yeah, not a fan of Chelsea's kits recently. Not been a fan of them.
Were you a fan of them previously, like the Auto Glass one or the Samsung one? Did you, or Kohl's, of course, sorry.
Yeah, no, probably not actually.
No, do you think you just hate Chelsea?
Yeah, I think I do.
Favorite former Chelsea player?
Ooh, Petr Cech maybe.
Really, that's a rogue one.
Yeah, he comes to mind. I think he was always a. Seems like a nice guy, Petr Cech. I mean, it's tough. Yeah, there's not a lot. I mean, Drogba was a fantastic striker. But did I like him at Chelsea?
Cup final striker.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. It always annoys me when you see those polls going, who's the better striker? And it's like, my Premier League might tweet out. And Drogba's nowhere near any other Premier League striker.
Yeah.
Because he did like one good season in the Premier League. But he was fantastic in cup finals. Fantastic.
Shevchenko, but again, not for his time at Chelsea.
No, I'd say Gianfranco Zola.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just looking at their Player of the Year winners. So we've got
Alexis Smertin. There's a name for you.
Yeah.
Pulled that out of my head. Yeah.
Yeah. Pat Nevin, a couple of times, Player of the Year. This is a player, a person I know from being assistant or part of Mark Hughes' coaching staff, Eddie Niedzwiecki. Welshman, I always remember that name, seeing it in.
No.
It's a very hard to pronounce name. Ken Munkow, Andy Townsend, Frank Sinclair, Steve Clark, Erland Jonsson in 95. Do you not recognise that name?
No, don't recognise that.
But then after that, we start getting the influx. We get the Rude Hullets, we get the Gianfranco Zolas. Michael Essien, great player. Yeah, Petr Cech won it in 2011.
I always like Carlo Cudicini as well. Maybe it's something about. Chelsea goalkeepers.
Cudicini was excellent. Yeah.
Karine, De Hoy, Cudicini, Cech. Oh, they're all fantastic people.
Yeah. Cudicini obviously played for Spurs as well.
He did.
And he's still there as the lone technical coaches, whatever that means.
Yes, I was also looking at Claude Makélélé being the technical mentor.
Oh, jobs to the boys, that is. Goalkeeping coach Hilario, who obviously been there previously, didn't he?
Yep, he's been there previously.
No, Bruno Saltor, is that the Bruno who was at Brighton? First team coaches, because obviously Graham Potter's there. And I just remember he was a really bald fullback. I think.
Yeah, it could have been. It could be him. Yeah, yeah. Obviously they've won the lot basically, haven't they? Chelsea, First Division and Premier League, FA Cup, League Cup, Champions League, Europa League, Cup Winners' Cup, Super Cup, Club World Cup. Yeah, they've won it all, pretty. So, well,
how high would you say they are on your least liked clubs?
Oh, I think they're quite high of my least. And I think the whole Abramovich thing is very, like when they got taken over, everyone says that was the changing of football, right? When it became money and it was just, they could go out and buy anyone they wanted. I'd say they're definitely probably top 10, easily top 10.
Oh, only top 10. I'm thinking top 3. I can't think of many, many more, really.
I was going to say top 5, but I think if I really think about it, there's probably clubs I really hate for no reason. Or Football Manager reasons. But
okay. So to point out how fortuitous we are that Tony Cascarino is on this page.
Yeah.
The actual sentence he's using is: former Chelsea player Tony Cascarino revealed the club had been calling ex-players to check up on their health during the COVID-19 pandemic. That's all that's mentioned for him.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
To be fair, it's very, very well played from Chelsea as well. It's very nice.
Yeah, that's very nice of them, yeah.
But thank you, whoever updated the page with that during COVID.
Yeah. Probably the internal comms person at Chelsea.
Probably Tony Cascarino.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And therefore we move through to Tony Cascarino from Cape Town Spurs.
Yeah, what a bonkers little journey that was.
That was roaming.
Yeah.
Now let me try and unpick it. So, we started today with some missed clicks, missed opportunities where we hadn't gone to. I chose Cape Town Spurs. They had a former manager who was English, Rob McDonald. We couldn't resist. He had played for Ikast FS. We didn't know where that club was. We clicked on it. They played in Denmark, but they played in the 6th tier. That wasn't great. But they affiliated with Midtjylland FC, which we knew about. Had some links with Brentford, but they had a player who scored 5 of the 6 goals in their opening match of their stadium, Mohamed Zidane, intrigued us. Zidane got the number 7 shirt, previously worn by Hamburg, Iranian captain Mehdi Mahadevica. Again, player we knew but didn't know too much about. Mahadevica has won the Asian Footballer of the Year. We went there. Another winner of the Asian Football of the Year is Server Jeparov, which I remember from Football Manager, Uzbekistan player. We're there. He fortuitously went on trial with Chelsea. Chelsea are mentioned. And on Chelsea's page, Tony Cascarino is mentioned. Cape Town Spurs, Tony Cascarino, with 8 clicks in between.
I'm very happy that we've done that. And I feel like we've done that in a way of which we designed this podcast, which was you came up with this idea because we got lost down Wikipedia rabbit holes, and that was very much a rabbit hole, and we actually ended up where we wanted to by pure luck, generally. Yeah. Pure luck.
And we embraced it, didn't we? We embraced the variety.
We did. Links. And it does bring an end to this week's podcast. So thank you very much for listening. Feel free to send in your recommendations or suggestions for Wikipedia pages you'd like us to start or finish at. You can find us on Twitter at WikiWanderers and on Instagram at WikipediaWanderers. But for now, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.